Hi everyone, and welcome to the research and software engineering team here in Microsoft Redmond. Today I'm sitting with Sebastian. So Sebastian, why don't you go ahead and tell us your last name, which I didn't try to pronounce, and what do you do, and so forth.
Right. My name is Sebastian Burkhardt. I'm a member of the chess team here at Microsoft Research. So I do a couple things. My interests with chess are about concurrency unit testing. And the thing I want to show you today is how to use chess to do concurrency unit testing with race detection. So this race detection is a new feature in chess, and I'll show you what it means and why it is useful and why you should use this when you do concurrency testing.
So chess is this concurrency testing tool that is available on DevLabs, and everything we're going to see today can be downloaded?
Right.
Okay, excellent. Right, so what are we going to talk about today?
Right, so I want to show you on a very simple example first how to run race detection and what kind of report you get if chess does find a race. The second step is to show you a little more about Chessboard, which is an interactive environment to launch chess runs and manage test results.
And that's new in this release.
That's new. So everything I show you today is new in this
cool.
release.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think to start with, I want to start with a really simple example. And that example is actually part of the distribution. So if you open the installed folders and you find a little package called samples.zip, you open that up, it should look something like this. So you have a little samples folder. Has here a Word document where you can read everything about these samples. We're now going into the Manage folder, and we're going to look at an example called Simple Bank. So you can see we have here a little Visual Studio solution. I'll now just go directly to Visual Studio. So here is what the Simple Bank example does. So we have here a class called Account, and this class is a very simple example of a not thread safe class. So there's a bug in here and we want to find it. As you can see, we have a constructor which constructs this object with an initial balance. We have three methods called deposit, withdraw, and get balance, which have the obvious function. And as you can see, this is a fine class in a sequential setting, but there may be a problem here if we try to run concurrent. Because we don't have any locks here.
And plus equal is not really atomic.
Right. So plus equals looks like it's an atomic operation, but in fact, when it's compiled, it will read a value, change it, and then write it back. So it's not an atomic update. And chess will detect that and give you a warning. So this is just a class. Now, when we say concurrency unit testing, what we mean is we actually have a unit test that is designed to catch bugs like that. Specifically, a concurrent unit test. What does such a test look like? And we have an example here in the class test1.cs. So it's a simple class which has one method called run. Now, the thing that's a little different is this method will actually create threads. So first it creates a new account object with an initial balance of $10.
So it's really important when you want to use chess, you need to have your unit test to create threads.
Yes.
If your unit tests are purely sequential.
If they're purely sequential, you won't gain anything from running chess. There's no point. So the point of chess is to take a test like this, and I create two threads here. Each thread has its own operation. The first one does a withdraw of $5. The second one does a deposit of $5. And down here, I actually start both threads, and then I wait for both threads to complete. So in between those, the threads are running concurrently. And then at the end, I check that the balance is 10, which it should be, no matter in which order those things actually happened. So the point of using chess for tests like this is that chess tests all interleavings. And so how do I run a chess like,
And that's very different from running under a classic stress.
Yes. So in classic stress, this would not be a very good test, right? In classic stress, you would either want to repeat this 10,000 times, or you would want to run this test, with 10,000, not 10,000, a lot of threads in parallel.
Big machines, a long time.
Put stress on it. But that doesn't make any sense then you have chess. So under chess, what you want to do is you want to have a really small test that is concurrent with as few threads as possible, because chess already does the repetition. So chess will call this a lot of times and repeat it. You don't have to do that.
Okay.
So how do we now run this under chess? So today I'm showing you the mChess interface. So we have three different interfaces to chess. We have one for unmanaged code, we have one for managed code, and we have one that integrates with Visual Studio. So today I'm actually showing you the one that does not integrate with Visual Studio.
So this is just a pure good old command line application.
Yes. So I'm now going over to a little command prompt, which is in the directory where this project is being compiled into. I have SimpleBank bin debug. Let me make sure I did compile that, so I say build solution here.
There we go.
Go back over here. So in here I have my simplebank.dll. The way I run this is I run mchess, which calls mchess, and I give it the DLL. And I also tell it which class I want to test. So
mchess looks for particular type names and methods, I guess.
I'm actually going to tell it which class to take. So here, if I go back to test one, this is a class called test one.
Okay.
In namespace SimpleBank. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say test class colon SimpleBank.test1. And when I run this, it will run chess.
Okay.
So chess in this case tried three different interleavings. This is a very small example. Usually you have tens, hundreds, thousands. But the important part here is that I did actually not find the bug. And the reason is I did not run with race detection. So if you look at this output closely, there is a warning here saying, let me mark this. Warning, race detection disabled. Races may hide bugs. This is exactly what happened here. So if you run this with the old release of chess, you would not find this bug.
So race detection is really also a new feature.
It is a new feature, and it is an important feature, because we can see in this example, we need race detection to find this bug. So how do I run with race detection?
So why don't we turn on race detection immediately?
So that the overhead of race detection is relatively high.
Okay.
It's not as bad as sometimes with because we don't have to instrument everything when we do race detection. But still, we don't have it on by default. We chose to sort of not make a huge change in the way chess behaves. The change is that we get a warning, so you know, to run with race detection. But we may change that choice in the future. So to turn on race detection, I say detect races and run the same thing. And this time I get a somewhat different result here. It says search completed, one warning, two races. So of course you're probably looking now, what are the races? And they're actually not printed. And the reason why we don't print them is because you quickly need more space to explain exactly what was found. So at this point we want to really encourage people to start using our new interactive platform for looking at results and managing tests.
And that's what we're going to see right now.
Yes, right here. Yeah. So the way to see this is I launch this new application called Chessboard. Brings up a GUI. And this may be a little bit overwhelming at first sight. I have five panes here, and I will explain these panes as we go along. But for now, we ignore this a little bit and just try to go right to the results of our run. So I go under the session menu, and I say import results from file.
So that's really cool. I could have run the mChess on the big machine overnight, and I could just import the result and drill into them.
Exactly. So I go into import results, and luckily I'm already in the right directory. So in the result directory where I did run chess, I will have this file called results.xml.
Okay.
And I just open this one. And now I will look right away at the bottom left, and here I see the results of the run. So what does this tell me? I have two reports that show me found data race. So it found two data races. And I get a warning here saying that there were data races. I also get a search completed, just telling me that the search completed.
So we exhaustively went through all the schedules?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I would like to see what these races are all about. Of course, if I, you know, I could take just this line number and start debugging, but I would like to see more. So how do you actually show a race? And the interesting part is that actually has to do with how a race is defined. So a race is defined as having two accesses to memory, at least one of which is a write, and that are not ordered by synchronization. So this not ordered by synchronization really just means they could happen simultaneously on a multicore. The easiest definition I can give.
So, I got it.
So in order to look at it, I would like to see these. Now, as I said, Chess does not run with full instrumentation by default. So once you have found a race, you cannot immediately look at it. You actually have to rerun the test with more tracing turned on before you get a good look at it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm now doing a right button click. And I get a context menu, and here I choose Repro Race or Run with Tracing. And this will run Chess again, this time with more tracing turned on.
And I don't need to remember the command line options.
No, that's one thing that this GUI takes care of. It stores the command line options you gave the first time around and reuses them. And since you're at it, I actually, before we look at this Racer 1, I also want to report the Racer 2.
Cool, so we can really look around, explore, and,
yes.
And each time it's running Chess in the background, I guess.
Every time you run something, you can see in this pane here, we have a list of things that are running. They're numbered with a sequence number, 1, 2, 3. And they just complete in the background, and you can run as many of them as you want. Once they're done, I can click on them, and I can use my right mouse button, and I get a choice, View Race with Concurrency Explorer. So Concurrency Explorer is a graphical interface that tries to show you what happened in this concurrent execution. So there's a lot to explain here. Let me try to take it slowly. But so first, the first thing
we're all listening.
The first thing you can see is that on the left side we have a sequence of steps. These are the sequence of steps, the schedule that Chess produced. And in this sequence, we have two highlighted accesses, a write and a read. And those are the racing accesses. So what that means is those two accesses could actually happen simultaneously on the multicore. And if you want to see what they are, we can click on them. And the right-hand side will show us in the threads where they are. In fact, as we open this, we can already see exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Namely here and here, which is sort of what we expected to see. This is the withdraw and the deposit method, and it shows the race on here. Now, you may wonder why do we have a second race reported here. So this second race is actually the same race, it's just reported a second time. So the reason is that things can happen, you know, when you have a race, they could happen both ways around. And it always reports the line number of the last access that participated in the race. So you might actually, the same logical race may be reported multiple times.
So the three windows here are per thread. So
yes,
we see three times.
We have three source code displays. Each one of them shows one thread.
Okay, so there's the main thread where we launched the test.
Yes.
And the two worker threads. All right.
Yeah. And there are a lot more details to explain here, but I think to demonstrate just the race detection part, I don't need to go into all the details.
Yeah, so this is with Chess, and you can definitely go download it, play with it, and you'll spend a lot of time, I guess, in the Concurrency Explorer,
yes,
drilling into
yes.
bugs.
So once you have the bugs, Concurrency Explorer is a nice place to go. You also probably are going to use the debugger, so just so you know, if you don't like this idea of looking at traces, you can always go back here and say repro with debugger.
All right.
And set a breakpoint, and you will just from there go into Visual Studio and
so Chess will set a breakpoint before the race happens.
You know, actually I do not see an option here for setting the breakpoint right at the race, but that should be there. Yes, so for now you would have to set it earlier and then get to the race. Okay, so we saw how race detection works here. Now let's have a look at, you know, does it work? Can we fix the race? Do the errors go away? So for now I'll just exit chessboard. So it brings me back to the command line down here. And I'll go back to Visual Studio and try to fix the race. So I had withdraw and deposit had a race. So let me just add a lock. And I will rebuild the solution. And I'll go back to the command line for now. I'll run with detect races again.
Just thinking.
And zero warnings, zero races. So that's a great thing. Now, that looks good, right? But of course that was just one test. So you actually do not get a lot of good confidence from running one test here. And the best way to demonstrate this is to run my second test, test 2.
Oh, so what is test 2 doing?
I'll show you in a minute. So this test actually does find more races. Let's have a look at test 2. Test 2 actually now has 3 threads, and I do a concurrent withdraw, deposit, and get balance.
Oh, and get balance wasn't in test 1.
Get balance, unfortunately, does not have a lock, and I didn't test it in test 1.
So. Okay, yeah. So we're back into code coverage and
So we need the lock here too.
But the main difference here, the data race is really new. We needed synchronization primitives in the first version of chess.
Yes.
For chess to be able to operate.
So chess originally was only finding bugs if you was only guaranteed to find bugs if your program was data race free. And we did have a race detection prototype, but it wasn't shipped as part of the release. So you never quite got really full coverage at that point. So with data race detection, you can now really test your code. And that's a good thing. And I'll show you in a minute that it goes a little further than what you might see right here. Because not only can we do locks, we can also do interlocks and volatiles.
Let's see that.
Okay. So you see, I used locks here, and I don't want to encourage you to do lock-free and low-lock programming because it's usually not a good idea. But suppose you're like writing a really performance-critical bank account, and
it's pretty much sequential right now.
Yes, and you realize that you know there's a more efficient way to do this than using locks, which is to actually use an interlocked operation. So you can add interlock add. Do I have threading in here? No. Interlock add. Have to go to. So this will add the amount to the balance atomically using the interlocked operation. And I can do the same here. It's a negative amount. And what do I do down here? Well, let's for a moment say we just forgot it.
Okay.
This is not quite right. You shouldn't do this. But, you know, let's see what happens. So, I'll recompile this. So let's run the first test again. So the first test only did concurrent withdraw and deposit.
And it's still and happy?
Passing. No
races? Okay.
Yeah, no races. Because these are now atomic operations and you're allowed to have them concurrent. Now what happens if I add test 2? It's actually a bit of a gray area. Here you see I get the race detection again. So, if you want to let's look at the race. So, I'll open chessboard again. So, here comes chessboard. You see, chessboard actually opens up where it left off, so it saves the state. So, if I want to look at the new results, I actually have to import again. And here are the races. So, let's look at this one. So, I do a repro with tracing. and then I look at the Concurrency Explorer, and you can see it now actually reports the race between this interlocked and this regular read.
Okay, and when we do the repro tracing, we only do one run with tracing, so we don't have to do millions of runs with all the instrumentation.
Exactly. Yeah. So in this example, it's not a big difference because there are only like five schedules, right? Yeah. But if you have thousands and thousands, then that's a big difference. So, instead of doing an interlock there, I mean, instead of doing a regular read here, I have to do something better. So I think there's an interlock you could use. You can also use a volatile. So once you declare it volatile, you're actually allowed to have racing accesses on it. And this should pass. Let me just test this. I didn't actually run this. So there are other problems here. So once you get into this low-lock programming, things get very hairy. But the good news is Jess can actually help you now. So Jess can help you get these things right. Wait, that was test one. You should do test two.
So can you still use the volatile APIs with the volatile and interlocked APIs together? Seems like C# is complaining.
C# complains. So the compiler, let's see if where was the message. Yes, here.
And maybe the error list.
Error list is better, yes. Yeah, so I get a warning that I have a reference to a volatile field. And unfortunately, that's a problem with the C# compiler. So this is actually an okay way to go ahead, but we can't, we can't turn off this warning. And I don't know what to tell you.
Pragma warning disable. Okay.
Yeah. So that was a demonstration of the race detection on a really small example. So that should have given you an idea of why we want race detection and how you can use it to do some lock-free things. If you want to do that, which we don't recommend, but if you do, then you need help most likely. So Jess can help you.